All right, ladies and gentlemen and juniors, this is R18 podcast tonight. We are interviewing one of the club legendary guy around. Yep. But we're joined tonight by a couple of good couple, Harriet Gould and Angus Mirren. We're going to interview Sam Giblin tonight, and he's just going to tell us about his little bit of time with the club.
Righto. Sam, how you doing? Sam or Gibbo?
Gibbo.
Gibbo. Just tell us about when you first came to the Steamers.
I was at uni. I'd come back to Albury after a couple of years in Melbourne after school.
So you were from Albury?
Yeah. Went to high school in Albury.
Albury High?
No, Murray High School.
Oh, okay. Oh, good school. Good hard school.
Yeah.
Were you the only white guy survived to come out of that school?
It was a good school. I was there. Another life member, Bowles, was a teacher.
Mark Bowler.
Geography teacher.
His brother, was one of the Western Suburbs Rugby League greats, yeah. Warren Bowler.
So was he your geography teacher?
No, I never had Bowles as a teacher. Okay. Always respectful.
So sorry.
He was a familiar face when I got
So you came back from uni. What were you studying? Doing uni back here?
Yeah, at Charles Sturt, Figuna, in 2000. And a few of the guys I was studying with were rugby boys from Sydney.
And they were looking for a club? Or they were
No, they joined up with the Steamers. And
so who was that? Who were the guys?
Oh, there was Ross Dow, who was was working at the Termo, that was the sponsor, and
so the Termo was the sponsor when you first came to the club.
My first home with the Steamers as far as sponsors, pub sponsor. But John Hoban, Alex Flannery, Pete Collier, who's a been now.
So I was going to say there's some names we haven't heard there before.
Sponsor now, yeah, and back on deck this year.
Oh, that was a Harriet burp.
Gibbo, were you always a rugby player growing up when you were young?
No. So, soccer.
Soccer was your main sport?
Yeah. I played out at the Boomers, SS&A Boomers, with Josh Kennedy, who went on to play for the...
Sydney Swans or the West Coast?
No, the Socceroos.
Oh, the third Josh Kennedy, Josh Kennedy.
He scored the header in one of the
World Cup games. The
tall one. Yeah, so you could have played for the Socceroos?
Yeah, no, me and him were striking there in first grade. So
did you teach him everything in there?
He was 15 and I was about 17 or something.
Okay.
And concentrated on soccer and concentrated on...
Drinking.
And I left the following year, I reckon.
So 2001, would you say that was your first formal year in the club?
Yes. Yeah. No. We. In 2000, I didn't play, but I was at uni with these rugby guys, and they decided to put a team together because the
did Latrobe
have a team? Uni games were on in town, and I just was like, "Yeah, I'm going to rugby."
I can do that.
Yeah. Well, I'd moved. We moved to Albury in 1990 from Canberra.
Yeah.
And that was like
so in
that was the Mal Meninga era
was that
of the Canberra
Raiders.
Dad was a teacher,
So I want to preempt the question with the uni games. So you were playing rugby at the uni games. This is going to preempt some stuff that'll come up later. Did you take any drop goals during those uni games?
No.
Okay. No. All right. We'll get back to that.
No, just had a ball playing with these blokes and scored a couple of tries. I had no idea about rugby union. I was probably a rugby league guy, which is what I was saying about I'd moved down here from Canberra and got to Albury knowing the Mal Meninga and Laurie Daly era of the Raiders.
So there's 88. Club was the best player.
Bradley Clyde.
Bradley Clyde. Was that 88, 89, that sort of year?
88, 90. 90.
89, 90.
They lost to the...
They won two in a row there.
Yeah, was it in a row? I think
88,
they won
89.
One and then lost one and then
did
won
they?
Another one.
Ah, right. Out of Seaford Oval, out of La Quimia.
Yeah, but I played soccer for some reason, but just
great
had rugby league.
Great sports soccer.
Right, was, so,
and
all right,
got to Albury, and it's Aussie rules town.
So 91 was your first year, or 92 was your first year with the Steamers, do you think?
91? No, 2000.
Sorry, 2001, 2002, yeah. 2001.
2001 was my first year. So
who was the coaching, do you reckon? Who
Devo was coaching.
Alan Devlin.
Yeah. Great coach. He really set me up in the back line, out wide on the wing, obviously.
Did he teach you how to be a halfback at the same time?
No, that didn't come for years.
No. So the
you get that opportunity for us.
Where was the Steamers at that point? How were they playing?
They just won two flags, back-to-back premierships in
99 and 2000, right.
Yeah. But they had a heap of guys leave. Wheats went, Nick went.
So these guys all went up
Moose
to Sydney.
Moose went, Timmy went, Paul McFadgen.
Yeah.
Is that Moose that plays the guitar after he's a band, one-man band playing?
Taylor, he's a great
guy.
A good musician.
And Moose and his wife are a love story built here at the Steamers.
Is that like a Taylor Swift love story?
No.
And is that Travis Kelch?
Oh, yeah, Travis Kelch, yeah. They're like Taylor Swift, you know, love story. Does Moose's wife owned a private jet that flew down from Sydney to pick up Moose.
We're getting distracted.
Yeah. So you played with those sort of guys, were just leaving the club?
No, I never met them. They left to go to Sydney, and so the club was
starting to sort of go downhill, would you say?
Yeah, a little bit. Like, it was still good. It was called Fortress Murrayfield. They hadn't lost at Murrayfield for like 2 years.
Oh,
when
really?
When I started. And
so which players did you stand
Aaron Davis, Belly was here.
Aaron Davis' name comes up quite a bit.
It does come up a lot,
doesn't
it? He's
an absolute legend of the club. He was on the committee and he was just involved in everything.
So
Phil Butt was the club captain and he was alive while like everyone looked at the boat.
Did you've become a club captain for many years. Did you
later on,
model yourself on some of the
totally,
stuff?
Totally. Phil was so inspirational. Everyone wanted to be part of what Phil is doing.
Great. Yeah. So you're early on, so you've come into a club that's just finished a great success and then you've got a couple of grand finals under your belt as well. Did you play in those? So this is 2004, 2005?
Later. 2001 was my first year. I played about halfway through 2002 and I moved up to Sydney for work.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and
spent
a year and a half up there and played subbies for Petersham.
Yeah.
And that really helped my game.
Yeah. There's no mucking around up there.
No, they had five grades and it was just like, I learned a lot playing for
So what were you doing up in Sydney? You were
landscaping.
And then when did you come back?
2005, end of 2004.
So
they just lost that Wagga.
Waratahs, was it Waratahs we found out the other day?
Footy's first.
Oh, yeah, we've heard a lot about this Waratahs grand final.
Footy was back on board and he had the team. Mick Alexander was captain.
Oh, Mick Alexander, we hear that name quite a bit.
We hear that
cover
running
through. He's a lad. Moose was back in town.
Paul McFadgen.
Yeah. And he was playing 10.
Is that
Mick
after
Davidson
the love
was around. Belly was playing. Stuart Nolan was at his finest.
Is that when you like took someone's head off and just about like
that was 04, pretty sure, and that was the court case.
What happened in the court case?
Stuart, the guy was a Walker and he had been on Big Brother.
So Walker played.
Oh, he was
Walker's
a twin, and maybe the twin had been on Big Brother.
So the Walkers,
Stuart grabbed
the
old
the Walkers played for Waratahs, is that right?
Yeah.
Yep.
And Stuart whacked him off the ball, and they basically sued him, I think. Yeah, for assault.
Do we have anyone get involved legally?
Pretty sure Don Cameron took
Don
care
Cameron,
of
yeah.
Yeah, God bless him.
The man that kind of gets you out of all sorts of trouble.
Stewie was a big scary lad at training Jesus.
Yeah. So 2005. So 2004, 2005 was your first full year back.
Yeah, back
And what happened in 2005?
Footy had was just keeping on going with what had got worked. I think they'd lost, like, Wes Grayson had been there.
They lost a few players in 2004, yeah.
Another couple of guys had turned up, and they had a team. And I reckon in our first six games, we won 50-plus.
Really? They had it. Were you playing first grade? Where were you at?
All those teams that...
Where were you at in the
I was out on the wing, just...
Playing first grade still?
Yeah, playing first
grade. Were you out on the wing with Andy O'Connor, or what? Were you just out on
the
wing?
No, I was just a winger. That was...
So you had the number of people
where footy saw me, and I played out there, and I didn't score a try in the first seven games. Footy stuck with me.
Yeah.
And Mick... Oh, I shouldn't have told this story. He loves it.
I think we need to hear this story.
He ran over the line...
And
for his like fifth try,
Mick who?
I reckon, Mick Alexander.
Yeah.
For his fifth try, and as he was going to put it down over the post, he turned around and goes, "Here, Gibbo," and threw it to me.
Did you catch
dropped it?
No, I caught it.
Oh.
I'm like, Mick, yeah.
Did you? Hang on, you caught it, but did you put it down on
the ground?
Yeah.
Oh,
right.
That's well, just what I
want
to
know. But Mick says the floodgates opened after that.
I feel like you're being modest, Gibbo. I feel like that story is really you broke open the line, and you made the breaks. You made the space.
He was a difficult fullback to play outside of because he was scoring six tries a game.
Yeah, yeah.
And he would just grab the ball, and you'd be in the clear outside him, and he'd chip the fullback. Catch it and score. And I was so far behind.
And that almost sounds like Angus Merriam, right? Angus Merriam against Griffith. You know, chip and chase, halfback, you know, from the base of the scrum.
And celebrate with him.
You know.
So you've, what happened in that? Did you play in that grand final?
No, footy. I got drunk. On Friday night, which, you know, you don't want to change your routine the finals or anything like that, but had a big night on a Friday leading up to a game against Reddies.
So not the grand final, just
it was maybe
a prelim or...
Yeah, no, we'd done really well. We'd sort of dropped off at the end of the season and I reckon... we just won the minor premiership against Tumut up there.
Yep.
We just beat them.
Which is hard.
Yeah, it was. They had a couple of leaguers playing for them. And it turned into a tough game at the end. And I scored a little chip and chase try, and Moose kicked the conversion. We won the... there's a story out of that game.
Here we want to hear this.
Out
is
of that
what
game, our current club song, which is... we don't play for recreation. Barrel came into the change.
Who's Barrel?
Because we never had...
Who's Barrel?
Okay, no, before that, we never had a club song. Someone had come up with a song earlier, I think in the years while I was in Sydney. Because we'd win a game, go back to the sheds and just like, yeah, good job. And me and Boydie would have a smoke in the change room and everyone would clear
who's
out.
Who's Boydie?
Stewards, R.I.P. Steve
Boydie
Boy.
Yep, yep.
All-time club legend. And he'd be like, always, Gibbo, come and have a cigarette with me.
What
time
was,
sit there and
smoke. What was your
brand
of smoke you'll smoke?
Oh, Stivers.
Oh, so not Camel.
No.
Just sort of mid-range.
No, classy sort of.
That's all right. So... Barrel came into the
change. That
Barrel is
Brian
Addison.
And he sang that song. Yeah, Brian Addison, premiership captain, club's life member.
Should we get him on the podcast at some
point?
Okay.
I can line that up for
you. You line that up for us,
And he sang the song, and no one knew what he was singing. It was fantastic, though. And I thought about it afterwards. I'm like, we need to sing that again. And spoke to him, talked to a couple other guys. We wrote it down. And we just started singing it.
And that's where the club song. So that was.
So Barrel started it.
2005, just before the final started.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a great story.
It was a good story.
So what happened coming into the finals? You said you got dropped.
I had a big night on a Friday, which was sort of. It wasn't not the dumb thing because.
It's rugby.
You had your meat tray and all that, and you'd have a few beers.
I'll tell you what,
and I went on with it.
You talk about drinking on a Friday night. There was a club back in New Zealand that I never played for, but I had a few cousins in my family play football called the Wanganui Pirates. Right? Every Friday night, they went out and got drunk. Every Friday night. And that's the year they made the grand final for Wanganui Premier Rugby in New Zealand. Right? So, and the final was played on a Sunday. So they all stayed home on a Saturday night. They showed up to the game, to the grand final sober. Was the worst performance anyone had seen them play because they were sober. Normally, because they go out Friday night, or they go out Thursday, Friday, Saturday, they started, oh, we've made the grand final for the first time in 50 years. They started to stay home and like rock up and try to be professionals. Got towed up like nothing, like little boys.
Who was telling us about Terry Lamb doing that the other night?
So I just want to dig into this a bit. So you're going up to
it was like the semi, maybe the preliminary final. We're playing Reddies up there at Barris Elwood. We were just under the weather. None of us performed. First 3 or 4 minutes of the game, I think they put a chip in. Bridie picked it up off his shoelaces, ran 40 metres, and I was right next to him, and I scored the easiest try of the year.
I think that pass was four.
And we lost like 30-5 or something. We got smashed. Scotty Fraser, stalwart of the club, life member, was playing hooker in his final year, and he turned to me after the game in the change room. He gave me a spray. Footy came to me at training.
Was everyone angry at each other?
I got dropped. Bridie got dropped. The hooker, a school kid, Luke Roberts, who was 16 at the time, might have been 17.
Yeah.
And he got dropped, and footy changed a heap of.
So that was coming into, that wasn't the grand final. That was the
preliminary, and then, we went back.
So you must have won a couple.
We went home. We earned a home final against Waratahs and beat them to get in the grand final.
Beating Waratahs
actually,
and
probably
a home final.
In my 4 years at the club at that point, best win I've ever seen. The crowd was wild, old Ruddy.
At Murrayfield?
Yeah, I sat on the bench, come on in the last five.
We're going to just dig in there a little bit more. So did that burn? Was that, so for you and Bridie and for these guys, do you think that drove you later on, or did that, does that hurt?
No, I said to footy, no, mate, I did the wrong thing.
So footy's like, Paul Massara. That's a hiccup.
He came to me and I knew it was coming because I did go out and I did the wrong thing. We hadn't had a great game. I probably wasn't the only one.
But it didn't really matter because at that stage we were only playing for the love of the game.
I was like 26 or something at the time. I was still new to rugby.
You work all day on a Friday, and you have a beer on, and you make your call.
Yeah.
And you're probably thinking 1999, 2000, 2004, 2005, these grand finals come easy. We'll get some more.
No, well, I'd never played in one.
But the club has seen a lot of it.
And this was my first, and there was a big leader. Mick McGlone had written me up in the paper.
Is there a curse around you in grand finals?
There isn't.
We can come back to that.
Leading into my time, there was a back-to-back premiership.
So you're 2005, and then you would have become club captain then, or
no? It was years after that. We went on and lost to Reddy's.
To the Japanese back rower.
I hear a lot about this Japanese back rower.
He was an absolute weapon.
Yeah, he was something else.
Obviously, you never did tour with this Japanese guy.
There was some great stuff. Stewie Nolan and Joe Torre. He ragged on me a couple of times.
It's not hard.
Well, just look at me.
I hear your son's
Stewie Nolan and him, I remember. Standing face to face in a line out, and all of a sudden they were just swinging them.
Really?
Yeah, like
both hard men.
Great stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. The steam is, I think. Well, any rugby guy loves a good hard man.
Mm. Totally.
I was a hard man.
You were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go on.
You're a big softy.
Man. Anyway, it's not about you. So you've come from that.
We lost the grand final, but the following year.
2006.
Nolan left. Belly left. I'd say all our experienced guys. Nick Davidson went north with his partner. The club, the following year, we finished second last.
Really?
Yeah.
That, 06 that's
was
happened.
A real struggle.
That's happened again.
Footy had enough.
Yeah.
He'd lost two in a row.
Yeah.
I think it
coach.
Really, so, he blamed himself, maybe, I don't know. But
so what happened, so 2006, and then the club didn't really start to bounce back until about 2009, 2010?
No, later, 11.
11, 10, so what?
10 and 11 were good years.
So you got a four-year, what happened in that 4 years?
So 06, I think we forfeited second grade.
Really?
And we played first grade and we just got pumped and finished second last. I should go back to that 05 year, because we were right on top of the ladder. We hadn't been beaten. We'd beaten everyone by 50 or so. Mick Alexander was scoring 4 or 5 tries a game. And we went up to Condobolin, the big 4.5 hour trip north, and we decided we'd stay up there, a few of us, and I reckon I filled in for second grade for some reason. I think we were short in second grade.
Were you playing on the wing still at this point, or halfback?
On the wing. I think I played fullback or something for seconds, but we got pumped. They flogged us. The bottom of the ladder team.
Condobolin.
Beat us.
And is that you just took them for granted?
Yeah, I'm probably pretty sure. I think it's just a big trip. And we might have been short a couple of guys. Here and there for odd reasons.
It was
one of those things that it probably set up the rest of the season.
It sharpened you up.
It didn't sharpen us up. It was probably, it got our heads down, like that we couldn't go up there and beat them. Like the bottom team, they'd been getting pumped by everyone.
Yeah.
If we'd played them at home, it would have been fine.
I think the same thing happened in 2015.
I tell you what, though, we had a big night at the Red Dog Tavern that night.
After the loss.
We were celebrating.
Harriet, I agree. Some pressure off you?
There was a few stories out that night just because it was a heap of us stayed the night.
Because Condobolin's a fair hike.
Oh, it's huge.
And there's not a lot up there.
It's probably as far as anyone drives for a game of footy.
Down here. So, don't go year by year. So that sort of period where it was a bit darker.
Yep.
How was that? How was your rugby? How was the club through that?
It was great.
It was good fun?
Yeah. Like, socially, it was just as good for me, personally.
Were you winning anything? Did you win any premierships?
No, I won a touch premiership, I reckon, that year.
Well, rugby, but did you win any? Were you winning games? You're still winning games here and there, sort of thing.
No, 06 was terrible. 07 got better.
Friends from that?
Yeah. Yeah, no, Mick Alexander was still there, and he's a great friend. 07, Don Cameron came back on board because we'd had Chris Davidson come and coach us, and that didn't work out for him, and his wife had a stroke and she was well, so he only did one year. So, and then 07, Don Cameron came on board, and
was that a shift in gears?
Not early. It was a bit strange, really, because Don is the guy he is, and he didn't have all that much to work with.
So his expectation is something different to what guys could deliver.
Don's a slow burn because he knows so much about the game,
yeah,
and he knew what he had to do, his communication isn't sensational, but yeah, we were always going to, something was going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, like, so I think Henry Fitchett took over the committee. So committee-wise, we had, I think Linus had been in charge, and then Scotty did 2 years as president.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah.
I don't know much outside of that. And then Henry Fitchett in 07 came, put his hand up to be president at the AGM. And he goes, "Gibbo, you can be my vice president." I'm like, "Oh, okay, righto."
And how'd that work out? Where did that end up?
Ended up, like, as far as the, because we were a playing committee.
And that's a big thing. That's a big thing in clubs, is to be whether you have a committee that's separate from the club or a committee that is the club.
I was vice president. Mick was a.
What's your opinion? What's your opinion on that? On being a playing committee or a standalone committee?
It's full on because you're doing everything. It's full on, but when it was happening, it was great.
At the time,
it was fine because you were like, you're making sure it was happening.
Yeah.
In a way.
You thought it brought you all together.
And like, we set up a social committee who was all the players and their wives, and, you know, there was lots of partners involved, and it really was quite organic, and it worked quite well. Henry was a larger-than-life character, and some of his decisions were pretty out there. One thing he did was have free drinks on the social club, on the new play. No, what was it?
Like a week or presentation?
No, it was like the first week, like the season opener.
Yeah.
You know, like, welcome to the season. We'll have free drinks. We'll get everyone, if you pay $20, you'll get free drinks all night. And I reckon we've still got about 60 emails.
Email addresses.
That one night, all you had to do was write down your name and your email address and pay $20. And, I mean, we were at the Star by that stage. We'd moved from the Turmo. We'd moved to Paddy's, 04, 05.
Was that the Cactus Bar?
And then I think 06. Yeah, Cactus Bar, big time. Got some fond memories out the back there. And then we moved to the Star with Andy and Simon.
Okay. And you were at the Star for a while?
Yeah, we spent probably 4 or 5 years there.
So, when did it start to go up? Because it was years.
It was years.
You're talking 2009 now.
No, I'm talking about 2007.
So
08 we started building. And, like, back then...
Where's the trigger point?
And the reason I started was CSU. Like, the uni, not so much the Trobe. Probably early on we had a few of the Trobe guys. But, like, we just... the uni, we used to go out and pump O Week. I remember going out there year after year.
To get uni guys.
And we'd always get a few, like physios.
So what triggered the transition from, you got a few years there, what triggered the transition upwards? What was the upwards thing?
The Star had sort of given up on us. And it ended up, we were...
We do have Harriet hiccuping in the background, but that's all right. We love Harriet.
We were giving the Star more money than they were giving us.
Yeah.
And we ended up moving out to the north side. Oh, we got Bridey on the committee as president.
Nathan Bride.
Yeah. We had a change of, in 08, after Henry had decided to part ways with the club.
What happened to Henry?
Oh, Henry ended up committing suicide, which was really sad.
When was that? That
was probably a couple of years later.
So was he part of the club at the time?
Yeah, distantly. Like, he was always part of the club because he played. So he wasn't playing and he wasn't on the committee.
That's pretty hard stuff to have happen.
Yeah, he'd been a familiar face around the club. Yeah. He was a polarising bloke. But, it was definitely a hard period to go through as... So, but we've had a few.
It's not just the Steamers. It's any sporting club.
Yeah.
It's any group of men or women.
We lost Chris Rumble there, probably just before that, 07 or something.
So that's we have the Chris Rumble Trophy.
He's fondly remembered. He was an absolute stalwart. When I turned up, He was one of those. Actually, here's a story.
Yeah, go on.
My
yeah.
very first training session in 2001 pre-season down at Noriel Park, and Aaron Davis, Chris Rumble, and me. And it's a draw and pass.
Yeah? Yes. Two on one.
Okay. So Aaron Davis runs it up, passes to me, and Chris Rumble coat hangers me like an absolute clown. Like, welcome to the club, mate. And I'll never forget, I bit my tongue, I was bleeding, I'm like,
And
he was standing over me going, there you go, mate. You know, absolutely loved it. Yeah. And he was probably 45 when he did that.
So
and
why?
I'm 22.
Yeah.
But most people would have seen the cloak hanger coming. You just keep running still.
No. Aaron just gave me the perfect ball.
Yeah.
So well, I'm watching Aaron, and Chris was watching my throat.
So we've got So we just
anyway.
It's not uncommon to have clubs where guys pass or women pass. And it's a hard thing.
It's part of why the Steamers is what it is, because we're a family.
Part of the history.
And we know
what's happened.
So,
yep.
so
Brody came onto the committee.
'08, Troy Tatchell, Don Cameron, and I had a meeting early, and we were like, what's going to happen here? Like, we need to get a kicker, because Henry had just chucked his hand up at the AGM.
Yeah, yeah.
We're like, no, we will put a ticket forward. And we're like, oh, what are we going to do? Because Bridie had been the club captain the year before, but Danny's shoulder got coat hanged high. He told the story in his podcast. But
which he hasn't done yet.
And he missed the rest of the season. And and we're like, oh, look, as far as... But they were looking at me to be president or something because I'd been vice captain.
Vice president.
I was like, no, that's not me. Like, I'm not... That sort of guy. I'll tell you who is, though. He's the CEO out at the mill.
A lot of people
Nathan
think you are
Bright.
That guy, though. At some point.
But we decided, I was like, mate, Brody is the perfect guy for this.
And so he came on board, 08.
And I went club captain.
And do you reckon that was a good mix? That was the perfect mix?
We got Clance as secretary.
Who's that?
Justin Clancy.
Yep.
Member for Albury, life member.
Is he Labor Party or?
Pretty sure he's a greenie.
He's greenie. Must be a greenie, yep. Yep.
Anyway, Clance was thereabouts. We had the POM.
Who's that?
Andrew Penton. Hilarious guy.
Yeah.
Great second grader. Can sing classical opera.
Fantastic.
Late at night walking down Dean Street, I can tell.
So that was the club started it.
And
what sort of players came to the club?
And the following year, when the Star had kind of given up
2009?
On us, Bridie drank out at the North Side. And he's like, oh, Dan Burke is a...
He played for the Randwick.
He's a Randwick boy, he's a rugby guy, he's a rugby family.
His brother played for the Wallabies. Yeah, wow.
And Berkey was all too happy to have us.
And he's a shit car player,
we went from
just
getting $5,000 or something from the Star. Berkey gave us $18,000, a couple of kegs. Buddy, I'll pay for your shirts. We'll get, you know, like, what can I do? You'll have upstairs for yourselves.
Yeah.
And we just moved up there and it was like...
Did it switch a light bulb or something?
No, well, for us as a playing group and playing committee and the guys that were tight at the time, a lot of the old guys didn't like going out to London.
So it hurt
the club a bit. With the old guys, but
because of taxis and travel,
the stability Dan gave us out there at the North Side, and the money and all the stuff, it ended up, bam.
All right, we're saying goodbye to Harriet and Angus. Angus has said nothing the whole time.
Pleasure.
Right.
It's probably
another episode. Any other episode.
He's very drunk, don't listen.
All right, and congratulations to the newlyweds yet.
Yeah.
What do we call it?
Let us know. I'll send you my address for the.
Yeah, to the happily engaged couple.
You can look after our dog.
Thank you.
Oh yeah, send Wendell.
So, see you guys. So we've got So that's the changeover.
I reckon
so we've got
between Bridie as president and
Donna's coach.
Donna's coach into his third.
And Dan Burke as a sponsor.
Year, and the you've got like a perfect storm of the money. It just it built and the organicness of Steamers rugby that it always been. It so, actually the social things were easy.
How did you feel about going from a playing in a club that was having average success and you suddenly 2009, 10?
It was nothing sudden.
But 2010...
We still were struggling. We'd
when
finished,
did this? When did the win start coming?
Okay, so that we made finals 09, I reckon.
Yeah.
And we got knocked out the first week. 10, we went a bit deeper into the finals.
Were you playing first grade?
Yeah, what? On and off. I was playing all grades. We were like, we'd have a big pre-season.
And what position were you? What position were you at this time?
Around 08. Here's a name. The barber, Brad. I need to remember this. Brad. I can't even remember.
Brad was coaching
second grade, and I'd said to him, on the sly, I'm like, I'm sick of playing out on the wing.
Oh, really?
Can I give us a go at 10?
Yeah.
And he's like, well, I've got no one else. Yeah, go on, you can have a go at 10. Well, 2 weeks later, Don picked me to play 10 for first grade.
Wow.
So, you know.
Well done.
Oh, it's a very traditional game.
Yeah.
People see you as what you present yourself as.
So
once I'd played a couple of games at 10, I was confident. Like, I knew everyone. Like, I was the club captain.
Yeah.
And I'm just throwing passes to the centres and calling
them. Who was your first grade captain at that point?
I reckon...
So 2010.
Lolbach.
That's Jim Lolbach.
Yeah. Mick left. Mick finished... in 08 because he had fracture.
Yeah, we've been playing for a long
in
time.
His spine, yeah,
been
his,
up in Sydney,
vertebrae.
Come back, yeah.
Yeah. Mick Alexander and I reckon Jim took over in 08. And I was playing, like if we had a third grade team, I was playing
third, second, first.
Short. And then, captain in second grade and sitting on the bench, or I was getting picked in ones, which is a bit rare early then, but I kind of earned my way in there.
So when the club sort of entered its golden period for those four grand finals, so you've coming into that, you're part of that culture that's built up.
Yeah, I was club captain, and we were having really effective meetings out at the north side on a Thursday with, you know, Don and Bridie and Troy and Jim Lolbach, and it was just like we and the organicness of Steamers rugby.
It all came together.
We had a couple of really good uni guys. What really kicked it off was we decided in there to start recruiting. And we really had some doozies.
Who did you pick up?
We had some absolute Kiwi doozies, House, I tell you.
House is just on his phone at the moment. He's a bit distracted, but we'll get back to
him. We had...
who was the Kiwi?
What was it? Harry came over.
Who was the Kiwi that
played? He lasted about 5 weeks. Harry got a toothache in the first week. And, you know... We tried to help him. And
who was the gun that turned up? There was a gun that turned up.
Rob.
He was the shittest player played with ever.
He's one of the best
halfbacks
I've ever played.
You would have been 8 years old.
I've got him on the list.
So
he played one game.
He played one game for the Steamers and he scored 6 tries.
Hey, couldn't even make the fucking Kennedy Moulders, Kerry Rob. Remember that day? He got chopped.
I don't think he's listening.
I love
Kerry.
He was building bars at the time.
I've heard a lot of guys talk about this guy as one of the best.
He's absolutely
average player,
absolutely swift.
And he left halfway through the season. Powerful.
He lasted two games. He got an offer to go play in Russia, and he said, "I've got to go."
Yeah, because he wanted to play that. Because
we were just not a, we were not.
And that was 2010.
He's literally one of the finest players.
Wow. He's average. He was average.
Well, this isn't when we do the
house. Five out, I'll take you. When we do half back, I'll take Kerry.
When we do the house,
mate,
broadcast.
I'll take the slowest half back.
He could drink. And it was good fun.
When we're having, I hear we're having words, but when we're doing the house podcast, we'll talk to house.
We had Blinky. We had
this 2010.
Maybe 9, 10. We did some really shoddy. George rocked up.
And then
had a music scholarship at some school in New Zealand. That's mine. We got Nindy, the Chupa Chup, who played a lot
Nindy.
Of stuff.
What happened? Something happened to Nindy.
Yeah, Nindy. Nindy had a mate at the Tars. And
ended Waratahs, up being kidnapped. Swagga Waratahs. Yeah. And what happened? So you were drinking where?
We played here in Albury, been pumped out the
back. What year was this, do you reckon?
Star. We're at the Star still, so it must be 07.
Yeah.
Something around that era. And
this is Adam Nind.
And Adam Nind went out to say goodbye to his mate from the Waratahs, and a couple of them just grabbed him.
And
just shuffled onto the bus.
And what happened?
And he was kind of yelling. But once he was on the bus, he couldn't hear anything. And if you'd been out the front anyway, and then the bus just took off.
And,
once they stopped at their first stop at Gerardry, they let him go.
Oh.
And we got a phone call like 5 minutes later.
I'm out of Gerardry. I'm
in Gerardry. I've been stolen. Yeah. So old Chupa Chup got flogged.
Is that what you call him, Chupa Chup?
Yeah, I had a big head on him.
Yeah, he did.
He was a small prop.
Yep. I remember
him. And he had a head on him like a bull.
So let's step into some of the grand final appearances. So you've 2010, 11, club's on a trajectory.
Yeah, we're on trajectory.
You're starting to wind down in your career.
Pretty much. Yeah. Well, no, I didn't know. I was just
playing away. You don't know at the time.
I didn't know, but what I was doing was probably burning myself out because I was marking the grounds.
Are you still marking the grounds? You and Linus?
Linus Smith is an all-time champion, life member, just been doing whatever the club's asked of him forever. And, he and I have spent hundreds of hours down there.
So, I've helped you with once or twice. That's a big gig.
I was doing that. I was setting up the ground every week and I was going to meetings. I was playing 2 to 3 games a week. Guaranteed I was playing two.
Yeah.
Like seconds and then sitting on the bench and probably playing because I was playing half back if I wasn't playing first grade. And so I think I burnt myself out, really.
And what age? How old were you?
I'd hit 30. I was about 30.
So the first grand final is 2012.
I played second grade in 2012.
And you were how old by then?
So I played first grade in.
How old were you in 2012?
34.
Yeah.
So I played first grade on the wing in 10. And I was a kicker and got the highest point score off in the kicking. And
for the club?
Yeah, for the club. And we got knocked out by Aggies in the semi-final.
In 2010. By a
point here in town. And the following year, Lulbach tells a story of me kicking drop goals.
So you kicked it. They needed a bonus point to win the game.
We were out at Leeton, and we were up by.
This is your version of the story.
This is my version. Yeah, okay. Which is the story. But
we'll clarify this later.
We were up by a heap, and Deans, who is Jock Haslam's good mate,
Paul Deans.
Yeah.
Yep.
World famous photo of getting dragged around.
Yeah.
But I'd said to him, I'm playing halfback, and I'd said to him, how long to go? Because it couldn't be long to go.
Yeah.
And we got a penalty, like, I don't know, 35 out or something, just near the sideline. And I thought he said 30 seconds.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, this is basically last play.
Yeah.
I won't kick it in the touch because I was kicking. So I've gone, all right, no worries. And looked at Lyle back, he's going, yeah, kick it. And I've tapped it and then kicked the drop goal from near the sideline.
And it's gone over.
And I've slotted it. And Lulbuck's going, what are you doing, Gibbo? And Bridie's like, oh, Gibbo. And Denzi's like, Jesus, I haven't seen that before. And I run back. I'm like, yeah. But there was 5 minutes to go.
Yeah.
So there was no bonus point.
Well,
we'll talk to
Tim Lulbuck and get his version of that.
It was a silly story, but I thought there was only 30 seconds to go.
I think Tim Lulbuck's version.
I don't know what Deansy said to me.
Tim Lulbuck's version is a bit different. So we're going. This is something to be.
Don gave me a spray at the meeting on.
So you got a spray from a few. So when you've looked at retiring in 2012, more or less.
Yeah. No, I'd been playing second grade with you.
Yeah.
Under you.
Yeah.
And I think it was just the cold, the winter nights training. It was getting too much for me. I'm a tradie, so I'm outdoors every day and getting home for a long day.
So how was it? You've got a you've basically retired around, was it 2012? I think.
End of year.
Because I don't think you played much 2013. They had.
Oh, we went away.
You moved away.
To WA.
This is where I just want to come back to something we talked about earlier. Your grand final curse.
Yeah.
So you missed out on 99, 2000.
So 2012, I drove the bus up to Wagga.
You drove the bus where they lost the grand final.
House and Mannion had moved to town, and Benny Walker and Dave Cooper Dunn.
So a great team.
Fabulous team. Like, what a team.
And then 2013, you've gone away?
Yeah.
And
they lost by a point.
They won the grand final in 2013?
And, yeah.
You're not there?
No.
2014, you're back?
Yep. We've lost my wife, had a baby, and...
Who was the baby?
In town, Freddie.
Freddie Gibbler.
And we've lost the grand final by two or three points. And...
So what are you thinking at 2014? And you're thinking, I've just...
I was on the bus, I didn't drive it.
I've presided over five or six losing grand finals.
I honestly have never seen the Stainers win a granny. And here I am at the 14 line, and I'm like, should I even go up there? Like, I don't know.
2014?
Yeah.
And then 2014?
And I went up, and we lost. It, and it was wet. Jeez, it was wet, wasn't it? Like, water on the roads? No?
Yeah, I think there might have been water on the roads.
It would have been from the tears because we lost.
Because of the tears on the way back. So 2014.
Anyway,
But 2014, to be fair, was a bit of a celebration in the fact that we got there.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, it's a bit of that.
So you've presided over a few losing grand finals.
Yeah.
So how did you feel 2015?
I didn't know whether I should go up.
And did you?
I did.
And how did you enjoy that?
Oh, my God. I led the song when we got back to Wamagama.
To Mangapua. You led the song, definitely. I remember it clearly.
There's a few people who didn't know who the fuck I was. And they're like, what's he doing?
But there's quite a few that did.
Yeah. And it was emotional. It was good.
So where have you been? So since finally breaking your grand final curse.
My virginity.
Where have you been with the club since 2015?
Oh, doing what I can.
Line marking
mostly.
Line marking.
Can't even mark him straight, eh?
Well.
Oh, fuck's sake. Oh, when did you last mark a line?
Right. This guy went off string lines and he's still going to mark the 5 and the 10 in the right spot.
There's some good stories there too.
So anyway.
Between Linus and I, we do our best.
House has spoken up for the first time in 40 minutes and he's chipped someone who's been line marking for 25 years.
I can't get a word in because Mick won't shut up.
Oh, House, ask a question.
I did. He can't fucking mark a line for shit.
That's not a question.
Let's go on to the beat. Like, 2012, when you were driving us around, you had your little pinky blinder cap on, and you're like,
cheese cutter.
And you were great, I think the club was, I think Louis loved it.
Mate, I was bus captain at that time, I was probably 5 years into it.
Yeah, but you were probably in the mature end of your career.
You know, I drove every bus.
So where are you getting up to, House? What are you thinking?
Oh, no, like when I first met Gibbo, he sounded like a respectable man when I first met him in 2012. But as the years went on, there's the dark side of Gibbo that no one tells us about,
So what is the dark side of Gibbo?
Oh, I don't know, but it's just like, this can't be the same guy,
So the dark side of Gibbo includes no clothing, obviously.
Well, I don't know, I'm not saying that, but all this is the dark side of Gibbo. So. But, then they talk about, driving the bus.
What happens on tour stays on tour.
Oh, that's what it is. Yeah. All right, but there's another, there's a Sam Gillen and Aubrey, but as soon as you go past the boundaries of Aubrey,
Geraldry is like the flip.
It does get hot on the bus.
Hot.
It gets very hot on there.
So we worked out, how many bus trips do you think you've been on? Over 12, 13 years.
Out of your...
Say
you average 16 games a year, do you?
So say you've got 4 bus trips a year, you're playing...
4 or 5, yeah.
Yeah, and you're playing...
a decade or so.
Yeah, so 45... We're getting up to a question first, House. So you've got 45 bus trips over your career.
Yeah.
How many of those do you reckon you ended up with clothes on?
None of them.
Zero. You're 0 for 55.
All of them.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I went the other way.
Yeah, that's
all
right. Just
so checking. The question I wanted to ask you, mate, right, this went way out.
Ask. Listen, get down.
But if a young Sam Giblin met a young Nomi, would she marry you today?
Oh, geez, that's a good question. Yeah. Of course she would.
Of course she would.
She's a keeper.
She
I'd
is.
Marry her.
Yeah.
You'd marry
but
her.
But would she marry you? All the things that you used to get up to. And
came on a couple of bus trips.
People like Gibbo are thankful that Facebook wasn't around early on early days.
Whether you have Facebook or not, I love Gibbo. I didn't even know Gibbo at the time.
So we're starting to wind up. We're running out of time. We're going to... This is the one of the critical questions we ask.
No, you ask.
Well, you can ask it if you want, James, if you're a bit...
So, who are your top 3 New Zealand players? So, we're going to wind up...
Back when I started, it was so easy to play rugby.
So, who's your 3 best...
2001, we're about to win our 3rd Bledisloe in a row. We had William in the cupboard.
Before we wind up, did you go on a trip to Canberra and watch the Crusaders and on that bus trip to out to the ground?
No, was that the one where the door got ripped off? Honeyman ripped the door off or something?
No, where the bus hit the van, the taxi on the way. I didn't go on that one.
So, all right, we're shopping. We're shooting around. Who's your 3 best players? Three best players that you've seen, you've played with, and you've thought about it?
Yep.
Give us your one and two. You've got 1 and 2, obviously.
So where do you start? You've got to pick your best three.
Thank you, Gibbo. I'm your mate, both. Thank you very much.
I reckon House, 5 out. There's no one else I'd take. And there's no one else I'd have in my team. Like to lift everyone, the way you play, like the confidence you inspired. Okay,
nice. So you're calling House as your number three?
No, he's not calling me as
my
number three.
Yeah,
no,
that's all right. That's great.
Well, maybe. I'm saying...
Who's your number two?
I've never seen anyone else in the club lift a team like you did. And 5 out, there's no one else I'd rather run it in.
There's no one you want to tackle 5 out?
No, I don't.
No, 100%.
Jeez.
So who's your number two? Who have we got?
I reckon Belly. Like I played
Andrew Belly, yeah.
There was a lot of training sessions. Just running the ball.
This team is like
and
a good...
He'd turn around and say to you after you stuffed the timing on a run, he's like, just hold off me until I straighten. You know? But the maturity and the... And then in the game, it's so much easier because he's told you and you know and...
You just got
and when I was playing with him, I was younger too, so I was looking up to him. And he's hard as a cat's head. Yeah, hard as a cat's head.
Yeah. I get the same feeling when I used to play off Mignon. You know, like all Mignon's goes, just hold a few seconds.
The smarts as a footballer was fantastic.
So who's your number one? Down. Let's go. We've got Belly, we've got House, we've got Belly.
You got Wheatley who played a decade in Sydney first grade. Yeah. You got Moose who went up there and played for a few years. He was champion.
Who did he play for, Moose?
I think he played out at Eastwood.
Okay, yeah.
And maybe a bit at one of
those
other clubs.
Because it's pretty hard to get into those Sydney
teams,
isn't it?
Yeah, those top subby division clubs. But I reckon... Mick Alexander. There's no... Honestly... Point scoring machine. When you watch a bloke score 5 tries, just inside you, like you just run next to him, and then he just does his stuff.
And I would agree.
No one, the competition couldn't keep up. Let alone his own teammates. Let alone the opposition.
Yeah, I've heard from the Reddies back in the day, and they talk about Mick.
He scared teams definitely, and. But he had a presence as well, like he spoke to the media and he'd been up and played in Sydney first grade with NRL and like coming down here and playing cockatoos and like New South Wales country. That year in 05, I think, or 06, one of those years, the Thunder had come to him and offered him big money, like stupid money for back then.
Yeah.
And he just, this is great. I'm loving this. And he was paying to play with us.
2013, and it's the same as Mignon. You know, like, Mignon had a big presence in the comp as well. Yeah. Every team, like, if you take out Mignon, you can take out the Steamers. Yeah. So I remember we were playing City one day up at Wagga. And Mignon was away because something was happening. Mm. And we tucked Timmy Olds at 5'8". And all I can remember was the Wagga City coaches going, oh, Mignon's probably going to show up and play because they can't play without him. And then we tucked Timmy Olds in at 5'8". Timmy Olds ripped him apart.
When they weren't watching him.
And that's what I mean. Like when everyone focused on Mignon.
You can't double team everyone.
They say, take their 10 out. You'll take the Steamers out. Mm. And then, so they all tried to, but then everyone else opened up, like myself, Jimmy Olds, Wheatley, and Mick, still had the gas and things bright in.
Look, when you're trying to pick your best players, you got to go with positions.
Well,
so we've got props, you got great props.
We've got our best three. Now, guys, I just need to chop in because we're running out of time. We're running out of time on the podcast. So I think we've got more podcasts coming up from Gibbo, and we'll just focus on bus trips, maybe. Mm-hmm. But thank you for your time. We just want to summarise. You've got House, Belly and Alexander. You've got about 60 seconds. Is there anything? Thank you, James.
Actually, awesome, Rob.
Is there anything you want to add?
I only saw him once.
You've got 60 seconds, James.
I think he only played 2 or 3 games in Russia and then never played again. He's back.
60 seconds.
60 seconds about the Steamers. What would you say about the Steamers? You've got 60 seconds.
No, I want to see the social side. of things, because when you're having fun, young blokes that want to play rugby will turn up. And I think recruitment, like, that was...
So Possum Rob and
let it,
Cookie.
If you want to let it be organic, it'll happen eventually, but you're guessing.
You've got to get some.
If you take it by the hair and drag it
Who was
it
the
around,
guy? Was it Cookie was the first one?
Cookie was great. Yeah, he's one of the better ones at outside centre. But you got to nail down your position. So you don't need an outside centre. You need a good 10. Sometimes you get lucky, but, you know. Yeah, recruitment, social stuff. And I don't know.
We're done.
Oh, have fun. Have fun. Thanks, Sam. Thanks, James.